This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say, what's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kickoff, you can get it just in time for half-time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
The Wednesday Week is sponsored by Michael Constantine Wealth Management. We bet you can't find a financial advisor closer to Hillsborough Stadium.
Hello, good evening, and welcome once again to another episode of the Wednesday Week. My name's Dan Fudge, and joining me tonight, we've got John, Blair, Stevie, and Ben, and we're going to make sense of an absolute gold glut that happened at the weekend. First, I wanted to set off by apologising to North Yorkshire Owls, who gave me a right load of abuse on the interwebs for not mentioning the departure of Sam Hutchinson. And today, because it's his birthday nonetheless, I thought I would go, we are going to miss you, Sam, and happy birthday. So I thought I'd get that out of the way, so my apologies. But in the meantime, now, not really a lot gone off, apart from the game that's happened at the weekend. Now, Blair, we got off to a good start, didn't we?
Fantastic start. It's one of them things, it was like, I have this ability when I slag a player off, he'll instantly score or do something good. And then Marvin Johnson, he looked slow in the first 5 minutes. The person I went with, I turned to him and he's looking after the pace today. And then 2 minutes later, he scores. But it's Bannon's great ball over the top, weren't it? And then Josh Windass just having the composure to hold on to the ball.
I thought Windass's ball in was absolutely sublime because he could have very easily, you see Premier League players,
he could have
get to that byline
lashed it
and just slap it across. And yeah, he didn't. He stopped, took a second and then went, here, pal, you can have this one. And I thought it was brilliant.
I think he was aiming for Gregory, but oh well.
You don't agree, Steve?
No, I thought it was, I agree with everything that you said, but I thought that was nailed on. I thought he was going for Johnson on the back stick. I think Gregory stuck his leg out, if you look back on it, but that was 100% a ball for Marvin on the back post, and hell of a finish.
Absolutely.
You know, just open his foot out and just sort of plant it dead centre of the goal. It looks a lot easier than it actually was to keep it down and hit the target. As we've just said, I thought it was a great start to the game.
Yeah, I think, we've seen Marvin Johnson in front of goal before, and that those couple of times where I think there was one where he bashed it in the near post and hit the far post last season, like, you know, stuff like that. He actually is a very composed finisher for somebody who's not set up to finish the ball, suggested by the position that he plays, you know what I mean? So, John, 1-0 up, we're coasting, aren't we?
Yeah, it looked really comfortable, didn't it? I thought, here we go. Bright sunny day, like it normally seems to be, first game of the season. Set off at a reasonable pace, start to peg them back a bit. Got his noses in front. Couldn't see anything other than a win. We were just totally dominant that first half, and in particular that first 20, 25 minutes. Obviously they're going to react after the break, as they did. So fair play to PE teachers. They came out with a plan second half and managed to stifle us a little bit, and it just went to 1-1, didn't it? And then bang, we went 2-1 up again. I thought, it's just a blip, they can have a goal, but we're gonna pile it on again now. And then just horrific goals, weren't they? What we conceded, just absolutely schoolboy errors.
Can we just mention the when the Portsmouth fans equalised and they were singing "You're Not Singing Anymore," and then Fizz smashed it in. instantly as soon as they started singing that, and then we started singing it back to them.
I hate to bring it up, but do you know what that was reminded me of? Yeah. When we started bouncing when we got back to 2-2 against Blades, and they went straight up the end and scored.
I thought exactly the same thing as that.
I remember my dad took me to Rotherham when I was a young kid, and they were playing Scarborough of all teams, and it was, I think Rotherham were like something like 4-0 up, and then they brought it back to 5-4. They were going 5-4, we're going to win 5-4. Then Rotherham score, and it's 4-4, you're going to win 4-4. I love shithousery between fans like that. Absolutely, you know, when you're not part of it, it's really fun. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like the game that John mentioned there that we don't talk about. Mm. You know, I can imagine that being a really good moment for some of the fans in the other half of the city. So we're back to 2-1, Ben. You know what I mean? We're okay. We're unfortunately conceded from yet another set piece into the box. I mean, what did you make of it?
Well, all three were the same. Weren't they pretty much very similar goals to concede, all three of them? I think all three of them were free headers, or at least a free man in following it in terms of the second one. And I know we're going to talk about him, but David Stockdale got dogs abuse, and for the life of me, I don't know why. The first one, I think that's the one that people seem to think that he should have done better with. It's a free header, it's a decent header, and it's right in the corner. I think he gets fingertips to it, but he can't really lay blame at his door for that one. The second one, he's tipped it under the bar to start with. It's an half decent save. Again, some will say that he should.
Yeah, and Hunt just stops running then, doesn't he? Like Hunt just stops.
Hunt and Byers have switched off, and the lad just follows it in for the goal. And then the third one, there's nothing any goalkeeper can really do about that. It's the freest of them all. And he's about, 5 or 6 yards out, and it's passed him before he knows it. So it's defensive errors. I mean,
it's disgusting, the third one.
There's been a lot of talk about Iorfa, and rightly so. I think a couple of them were his fault, not picking up. There's been talk about actually stopping the crosses at source, and that didn't happen enough. But other than those three errors, which are individual errors, I don't think we did too much wrong. I didn't come away from it actually feeling disappointed, to be honest.
No, I didn't even know.
You weren't concerned about conceding set pieces, a hangover from last season that we had?
Yeah, I am. And people are going to be blaming Darren Moore for that. But again, he can't legislate for his centre-half not picking men up. That's not his fault. He can do all the work on training ground that you want, but if they're not going to... That's not the manager's fault that they've not done that, in my eyes. You can work on it all you want, and I'm sure they are working on it. I'm sure that they have, because there's been that much talk about it, but that's down to the players themselves. It's nothing to do with the manager.
No, it looked like they were supposed to be man marking, but they were zonal marking, because they were giving that much space to some of the players. That third goal, when he's allowed to trap it, get his head up, put a cross in, find a free man 6 yards out, bang, for their third goal. I mean, like you said, Ben, or Blair, that was a really, truly awful goal, by far the worst of the three.
It was, because he was the only Portsmouth player in our box. We had all three centre-halves in our box. Like, why have not one's touched tight again is a joke. And then why didn't even anyone put any pressure on him to put a cross in? It might be Johnson to try and put a bit of pressure on. It might be Fizz not get tracking back, or Banner not tracking back, or Byers not tracking back on that one. It was just criminal, really. Like, you know what I mean? It really was like a FIFA goal. It was just like when you're playing someone FIFA crap.
you've got to hope that it's a wake up call, because it's a different back line. We're saying it's an hangover from last season, but it's you've got two new centre halves in there that were nothing to do with.
They've played football all since they were 10 years old. Like, they shouldn't have had to head a ball.
I'll tell you what it is. Let me weigh in here. Now, Stevie, you've played centre back as well at various levels, and I've always struggled with three at the back, because I believe sometimes you don't know who you're marking. There is an element of, oh, he'll get him, he'll pick him up, he'll sort it out. Now, if you're wing backs are playing deep as well, you feel like, yeah, you've got more men than you need back here. This is great. It means I can track out a bit. It means I can leave myself as a spare man, stuff like that. Do you feel there's an element of that about them trying to fit in with Moore's 5-3-2 system?
Possibly. I think that there's clearly an issue. I don't know if it was a hangover from last season. I'd echo what Ben has said.
Oh, I think we've lost you there, Steve. So I'll sorry, Steve. I think I lost you there, pal. You said you'll echo what Ben says.
Sorry, I was saying I'll echo what Ben says from a point of view that it was potentially a needed shot in the arm early in the season. To sort of give us a wake-up call. My concern is, I've said it privately, we waxed lyrical over the summer about the signing of Ben Hennigan. I thought he, you know, against in the pre-season game against the Spanish team, I thought he looked really, really good, particularly first half. I didn't think that much of him on Saturday, if I'm honest with you. And I know that might be controversial, and it's probably going to buck the trend in terms of opinions of people here. I don't see him as being a promotion backline leading centre half. He's what you call a shit kicker, Dan. And I think there's a reason that Wimbledon had him in their team, and there's a reason that Wimbledon finished where they finished last year. I think there were times when their centre forwards, who were steady, there were nothing sparkling at this level, but he were running in treacle. And there were some of the headers. It got to a point where there were phases where he's heading the ball, and I'm thinking, a man of your size and stature needs to be heading that ball 10, 15 yards over the halfway line. And it was just contact and the ball was dropping. I thought he could have headed the ball better for the second goal, first goal, the free kick that went over. It was him that sort of sliced it off the back of his 50 pence head and it went out for the cross that came in. So I don't know if it's a formation issue. We'll probably get onto Iorfa. And I know that I'm probably the biggest fan of Iorfa on the podcast, but I can't defend the man on Saturday. I'm not sure he was right. I don't think he was 100% fit. They were giving him gels, they were giving him rubs, they were rubbing him down. Was he fully match fit? Probably not. The bigger concern is if he's not match fit and they give him 90 minutes, what does that say about for Maywell and anybody else that's on the bench? Was he there to offer that sort of pace at the back to the other two? I don't know. I don't have an answer. But the goals that we've conceded on Saturday were worrying. And even at 3-3, and I lent to my mate's dad who was there and lent over and sort of said to him, even at 3-3, I'm not convinced we're going to see this out. And every time they got the ball in the final third, out wide, you got that feeling that if they get a cross in, we're going to concede here. And that's a worry. It is a big worry. We didn't do a great deal wrong. If you look at the stats, the possession, we bossed the possession. We bossed shots on target. We had more corners than them. They didn't get a corner. Everything from a sort of an analytical point of view would indicate that we dominated that game on Saturday. But yet, if you look at it, while there are people here sitting and saying that I'm not concerned, you've got to be concerned because we've conceded three shite goals against a team that we should have put to the sword first half and won the game at a procession, to be honest with you. I left it quite disappointed, relieved more than anything else, I suppose.
Yeah, to be leading twice and then chuck it away, essentially, it feels like 2 points dropped, doesn't it? Now, before we start talking about the equaliser, I want to come back to some points that Stevie was making, Ben, about the defence. Iheke. Yeah. How do you feel it went, his league debut?
I thought he was probably the best of the three. I think we'd said that in the group chat. The surprise for me, slight surprise, a bit on what Steve has mentioned about Vermeer. Well, what's it say about him? Well, we mentioned it in the preview that, well, I think I had that about him being the left-sided centre-half, the out-and-out left-footed centre-half. And again, it showed in first half for me that you're playing Iheke there that's right-footed and through no fault of his own, I felt we struggled again to get out down the left-hand side to Marvin Johnson a few times just because he's having to bring it back onto his right foot to play the pass. And it could have cost us when Stockdale got fouled in the first half when he took it past the Portsmouth striker. Iheke got the ball and had he been a left footer, naturally, he'd just been a pass it to Johnson and would have been out down the left-hand side. As it was, him being the right foot, he's had to go back to Stockdale and put him under pressure. So for me, if I offer him fit, then you'd be playing Yekwa on the right-hand side and have Firmino in there. Because
just on that, sorry, Ben, just on that, he did go off injured, didn't he, in that pre-season at Hillsborough, that pre-season friendly at Hillsborough. He might not have been fully fit.
With our injury record, it's like probably better to be cautious rather than...
But with Liam Palmer on the bench, I'm not even sure. Was he on the bench?
He was on the bench.
Yeah. I'd rather have him play than an offer in a back three.
I would, to be honest.
Steve, have you heard this lot here? Have you heard him, Steve?
We're putting two of Stevie's sons up against each other here. We're asking to choose.
I'm picking between my daughters.
All right. All right. So we had a curious substitution, John. So Byers going off after being booked for Smith. Was that a formation change?
I would assume so, yeah. Because with Smith coming in, I kind of expected he might try a two at home, and especially at home games. I thought he might try a two of Smith and Gregory and just try and be a bit more direct with Johnson's crossing ability to get, which looks tailor-made, doesn't it, really, for Smith? If he can whip them balls in early. For Smith, who was, 6'3" or something like that, isn't he? He's a big lad.
Isn't it?
I thought, you know, we might have gone a bit more aggressive at home with two strikers and kind of put the 3-5-2 for maybe away games, which can drop to a 5-3-1, can't it? So yeah, I would agree. I think it were tactical. And obviously Smith now will play, wasn't he? Because obviously Gregory got sent off, so Smith will get his chance now. So it'd be interesting to see whether he tries Smith as a lone striker or with Windass kind of playing off him or whether he'll maybe look to go Windass maybe just alongside him and have a two. But yeah, I think it was tactical, Dan. Yeah, I agree.
He brought Smith on when we were 3-2 down. I think that was part of it.
It was a roll of the dice to push
forward. Took forever to get him on the pitch, though, didn't it? Anyone else notice? He was like warming up for ages. He was stripped off. And then I can remember just screaming at Darren Moore, like, fucking put him on then. Jesus Christ, like, what are you telling him?
Probably writing out an essay. Like,
it felt like it was going on forever. What's he showing on his iPad? Goal. And it's like that Paul Ince. Can you remember Paul Ince had that notepad?
Yeah, yeah.
And it just said, goal, shoot, or something. It was like that.
Yeah, give me some Paul Ince directions, mate. You know what I mean? Now, Blair, there was a point where Volz came on, but I think it was very much done and dusted while he did. Is he carrying a knock? Does anybody know? That seemed like a really odd run out. Like, Gregory's been sent off. Here's Will Volz for 30 seconds. Like,
yeah, it was that was bizarre. Did anyone notice? Was it just me, or did the fourth official's board break or anything? He never got held up. How long was left to play? And I think sometimes I can give like the crowd a big boost. And there's 6 minutes left. Everyone was fucking come on then. Like 6 minutes left, because that never happened. And I thought that could have helped. And then I didn't even know Gregory got sent off, to be honest. I was sat there.
I think a lot of people missed it.
What is happening here?
Even Gregory.
Yeah.
Gregory saw it, didn't he? Obviously, and if you go back and watch it again, I think people, because Stockdale got the booking for dissent because he palmed the ball into the ground. He did it after the third goal as well, didn't he? He punched it about 75 yards. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
He gets a yellow for the booking, but the referee goes to Stockdale first, gives him the yellow. And then while he's over there, he walks over to Gregory and gives him a yellow. And to be fair, if you look back, you can't argue that it's not, because he actually pulls the player's shorts. He's pulling on the player and it's blaming.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a yellow card.
It was the first yellow that for me wasn't.
I'd agree with that.
He's just blocked the ball.
One thing I'd say, you know, people will talk a lot about the officiating. They'll talk a lot about the, you know, the quality or lack thereof of the refereeing at that level. But there's got to be something wrong when, you know, there was, if you include Gregory's two yellows, there were 6 yellow cards for us. They didn't get a booking.
Yeah.
We made 17 fouls, they made 12. How is that a game that's so one-sided in terms of the lack of discipline from one team when it was pretty equal, to be fair?
I thought it was cool both ways, to be honest.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay, so, I mean...
Southern bias.
in terms of Southern Bias, in terms of defending set pieces, stuff like that, it's ironic that Darren Moore, one of the big no-nonsense defenders I've ever seen in my life, is letting this happen for two seasons running. I find it mental. However, Stevie, there's a reason I've left you till last, because Fazeo Deli Bashiru, back in the summer, was the subject of an Argentinian random club. No, that was Windass, sorry, wasn't it? it was a subject of a bid that never Blackpool. Seemed to happen for £1 million or something. And the amount of people online went, get Bundy in then, Jack Bundy, we'll be all right, like, you know what I mean? Because obviously we know the books inside that, you know what I mean? We've read a couple of tweets from Kieran Maguire. And you were one of the naysayers of that entire thing, saying, you know, here's a young, talented footballer here. And he's not had an elongated run in the team. And there has been times where he's come in and he's been magnificent. And then there's other times where he's come in and not stunk the joint up, just kind of, you know, not exactly 100% performed. He's chucked out a 6.57 as opposed to, you know, what we know he's capable of. But those were two very well-taken goals, especially that third one. Pick that out. So yeah. I'm going to give you a soapbox now, Steve.
Oh, weekly soapbox.
Weekly soapbox right now. Steve's soapbox.
Yeah, I don't. The first point around people talking about and cashing in on him when this alleged Blackpool interest arose, I don't get it. The reason I don't get it is that we've got a player here who is raw and has got a lot of potential. I don't think anybody can argue that. I don't think anybody who was saying that, you know, we could potentially cash in would argue with that. We were never going to get market value because he's in the last year of his contract. I think his market value will go up. And I think if we can tie him down to a contract, not necessarily with us, but in the future, obviously tie him down to a contract with us, but in the future, he will go for big money. I think he's that kind of player. I don't know if he'll go to a club from us, but I can comfortably see him playing at a maybe not a Leicester, but a Newcastle or a Palace or, you know, a middle of the road, mid-table Premiership team, because he's got the attributes and he's got the qualities to do it. I don't see what people don't see. If you were to
he's
say
a very clever footballer.
He is. And he's composed, he's relaxed, he's got the, you know, he's got the physical attributes in terms of his strength and his pace. What we're basically saying is we're going to let go anyone who's arguing that we should let him go. He's 21 years old. He's in the last year of his contract. He's box to box. We've seen how he can finish based on what we saw on Saturday. And that was there before. I don't care what anyone says. He's an absolute ox. He's an absolute unit. So what you're saying is we're going to let him go for a certain amount of money, a player that we own, and we're going to replace him with somebody probably from lower end Championship at best that hasn't been playing, or League One or League Two, or some punt from Scotland or Europe. We're going to try and find another young player who's as big and strong as he is, that can get box to box, that knows the club, knows the players that he's with, and get him to integrate with our squad as early as possible. I don't understand people's thinking on that. For me, get him tied down, give him a 2-3 year contract on a reasonable wage. And when the offers do start coming in again, which they will, because I fancy he's going to get an elongated run for no other reason, and I don't see how Volks and Byers can play on the same side, to be honest with you, which is another argument, another discussion to be had. Just for me, I think he's class. I think he deserves his chance on Saturday based on what we saw last week. For me, if he can, you know, score another 2-3 goals like that between now and Christmas, you know, if we've got him tied down, his market value is going to go up and people are going to start looking at him, which in the long run, as we've said, if we can keep him this season, it helps us get out of the league, and he goes next year, then so be it. He'll go on more money and we'll be in a higher league.
Yeah. If you look at that midfield three we played on Saturday, on paper, it looks amazing, but it didn't work. Yeah. But it didn't go together. Like, do you know what I mean? You're playing three of the same player who want to play the same way. Do you know what I mean? The three box, well, attacking midfielders really, aren't they? Or creative midfielders. I think, like you say, we're gonna have a banning issue again, because he is aging. He's still got, on Saturday he did three great passes, one did lead to first goal, but did he do much else? Anyone else?
Hey, I don't think. Barry Bannon, mate.
He
never You never go drop Barry Banner.
So you've got to, I mean, you've got to get, but you've got to play Volks or like Birkinson because they're more like defensive ball winning midfielders. So we need a ball winner in there. And I think Fizz is great going forward. He might lack the discipline to do it going backwards, and that's the difference between a good player and a great player. At the moment, he's just raw potential, isn't he?
I'd go back to my original point though. Stick with what you know, and he is raw potential. He's by no means a finished article. He will have those 6.5 games. He's going to, but we all are. Talk about Bannon. Bannon, by his standards, if he's a 6.5, he's still an 8, 9 out of 10 in relative terms, because he didn't do a great deal. That's absolutely fine. But what he did do well. And I don't hold him responsible for any of the mistakes that were made or the errors that were made. I don't think he misplaced too many passes. As we're talking about FDV, but to be fair, he was tackled on the halfway line for the goal that they broke, the second goal. He lost possession of the ball. I've spoken about Byers on a number of occasions. For me, I'm not going to call him a liability. I don't think that's the case, but he's very, very prone to giving away free kicks in and around our box.
I think he was the worst out of the three on Saturday. But
listen, for me, I can't comment on saying we need a Bakinson in there because I've never seen the guy play. So, you know, we've signed him because he is a defensive midfielder by all accounts. I don't know how good he is. I don't. Yeah.
We'd be lying if we knew, wouldn't we?
The counter to this is the Malik Wilkes bollocks. Everyone, oh, we've got to get Wilkes in. We've got number seven in the squad. Why? Why have we got to get this guy?
Came our roof. I mean, if you sign one of them, what do we do?
No, the Wilkes thing is bullshit because everyone's going, get him in. Why? How many people have seen him play 10, 15 games? But we're sitting here going, oh, he's a great fucking player.
Yeah, but I looked on Wikipedia, man. He's got loads of goals in League One.
That's exactly it. That's exactly the point. Whereas we're sitting here week in, week out and watching Deli Bashiru become a player. And he's going to become a player this season. We've seen it. His progression.
We've put our time in for him. Sorry,
John. I think he's fantastic. I think you should give him a contract and just say, you're not going to see this contract out, but we're just going to get more money for you.
That's it. That's the nature of where we are. Sheffield Wednesday Football Club, that's the nature of where the club is now. We want to get to a point where we're tying down young, talented players like Dele Bashiru, getting them to help us get out of the league. And then in, you know, 18 months, 2 years' time, if we're bothering the playoffs in the Championship, you're going to get that mid-table Premiership team that's going to come in and say, we'll chuck 20 million at me.
It sounds ridiculous,
but that's the market value for a player like that nowadays. It is.
John, you were gonna add something.
No, I agree with FDB. I think there's a term that they use in American sports, particularly in NFL, where they say a player's flashing. He's like flashing ability. He's flashing his potential there. And I think we're seeing that from, particularly after Saturday's game with Dele Bashiru. And also, not to forget, Dennis Adeniran as well, out most of last season, still only 22. Come from a good team in Everton. They have some good youngsters coming through. So you've got a couple of players there that could stand you in good stead for the next three or four seasons if you want to give them contracts and hold on to them. Chantier is not big on academy. The club hasn't been big on academy ever, as long as I've known. It's never been good on academy, have we really? You've had odd player come through like your Beavers and Liam Palmer came through academy and he's still with us, isn't he? But predominantly, we've usually had success from younger players from other teams' academies. So like Glenn Whelan from Man City and then bringing Brunt across from wherever we got him. And then, you know, traditionally we've had to sell him because we've been a yo-yo club and we've struggled for cash. So we've had to sell him. So yeah, you've got to tie Bashiru down now. You've got to give him a contract. And his value will only go up, and he's surely going to be a shoo-in for the MK Dons game as well after Saturday's result. So I agree with Steve. I think he's going to be a baller. How good, I don't know, but certainly good enough to attract interest from higher leagues, I would say. So yeah, absolutely get working with his agent and get him a new deal, and let's not have that worry and walking away for nothing or getting sold for peanuts, which is what we've done with a lot of players in the past.
Okay, so the game finished 3-3. It was a bit of a roller coaster for us all. Some of us have taken away feeling in a good mood, feeling positive. Some of us have taken away feeling like it's 2 points dropped. That's what draws are, essentially. And it is the first game of the season. And I think you'll find Dan Fudge called it on last week's show that because it's the first game of the season, we're probably going to have a score draw because that's what we do. So, Ben, I don't know if you had the opportunity to look around some of the other scores in the league, but there was some that stood out to me. So, for example, Forest Green winning away at Bristol Rovers, not, you know, something they've done before, don't get me wrong. But then you've got Bloody Derby winning, but they beat Oxford, which I think is a decent scalp, given how well they played last year. Barnsley lost to Plymouth. Wickham absolutely smashed Burton, which was to be expected. But, you know, I didn't have a bet rocking all day because, obviously, I know League One football more than I do the other leagues. And after losing a shit ton at Goodwood because of Ryan Bloody Moore, don't get me started. I didn't win any more money over the weekend. Now, in terms of those first fixtures, do you reckon, Ben, that's indicative of who the bigger clubs are in terms of this league? And do we need to be wary of some of these teams, some of the old faces or new ones?
I think we're going to see the similar teams up there. To be honest, you've said about Wickham, I think they're going to be top six as they were last season. Derby probably going to be top six, top eight. I won't read too much into it. It seemed like a fairly even game. It's a good goal from Conor Hourihan, to be fair. But nobody's really gone and hammered anybody. Like I said, the only really the Wickham one against Burton, there's nobody that's really gone in and put that sort of 4-1 against in a game that's got two teams that you'd probably expect to be in the top 10. You probably look at our game with Portsmouth as being the standout with a sort of number of goals in it, and probably Portsmouth are going to be top six, top eight. I still don't think there's anyone to necessarily fear. Plymouth probably going to be up there. Like I said, probably the same face. I don't think we're really going to see anyone new. Oxford, despite losing, they're probably going to be top 10 somewhere in there. I won't really say too much else on that.
Fair enough. It's still early days. I thought I'd get 10 minutes out of you on that.
The one that might have stood out a bit more were Cambridge beating MK Dons.
Yes, that was one I was going to come to. That was the main one I wanted to speak about. Yeah. So yes, Cambridge beating MK Dons. We've got them at the weekend. MK Dons were up there and thereabouts, you know, in the playoffs last season. They must be furious with that result, right?
It's the players they've lost. They lost Scott Twine. They lost Harry Darling that you've seen score that goal against Rotherham. Who else? Troy Parrott, obviously, they only had on loan. That was the sort of spine of their team, really.
Did he keep the manager, Ben? Because he got a lot of interest as well, didn't he?
As far as I know, he's still there. But that's the spine of the team that did so well, like Darling, Twine, Parrott that scored against us. It's not there. So they go be in the top six. On that, you'd probably say they go struggle more than they did last season. And especially losing to Cambridge, then they've got to come up against us. They're probably not going to be looking forward to that, to be honest.
No, when we take more fans than they've got at home fans.
Got no fans. No, fair enough. So, yeah, I think this weekend's going to be interesting. We'll come to that in just a second. So Blair, going back to the Portsmouth game, were there any... I don't like talking about negatives, but I think what we'll do the diplomatic way of saying it by sort of saying, is there any player that was on that pitch on Saturday that underperformed up against how they can usually? I mean, we mentioned Iorfa earlier, for example.
Yeah, it's between Iorfa or George Byers, isn't it? Like Simon, before George Byers had a great game, to me, I thought he didn't do anything. And then Moore took him off, so I thought, I know what I want about. But yeah, so I think it's between them two. I mean, but like I say, it's first game of the season. We do read too much into it, don't we? Like, Man United might school whoever they've got on. I think they've got Man United might win on Saturday and that's it. Then Ten Hag's a new Ferguson, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? The media just go mental. Yeah. So I think like you've got to get it 10 games, haven't you, before you make any judgments. I think my wild prediction would be Wednesday will go up, but Darren Moore won't be the manager by the end of the season.
Whoa, Steve, what are you going to say about that?
Can we remove Blair from podcast?
To be fair, though, on the opening part of the season, we did say that if he's not there and thereabouts by probably November, he's going to struggle to keep his job. But, I, you know, what I'd like to see or what I wouldn't like to see because my heart won't be able to take it, would be a Steve Cooper style Nottingham Forest bottom of the league romping right to the top if a new manager came in.
He has put together an unbelievably good squad for League One, and chairman can like take some credit for that as well for backing him.
Mm-hmm.
But like you say, we've conceded three poor goals again, aren't we? Like three headers. You know what I mean?
And it's like I said to my friend, we were in the copper, and I said, you know, and we were saying, if you can't defend aerial balls into the box in League One, you're fucked. Because that is the bread and butter of the league, isn't it? You know, that's what you're going to get down in this
league. I was buzzing when I saw the back three as well. I thought, look at the size of them. I said to my mate who I went with, I went like, oh God, we're not going to concede an header this season. Look at the size of them. Look at the size of them three lads there.
Last season, we came down last season to Ilves, and every player were about 6'8". We were like Isle of Globetrotters.
Oh, God, who was it?
Team. I think my crew were huge. Massive.
I thought it was something like an
Cambridge or Accrington.
Accrington were quite big and all, they were. Yeah.
Absolute mountain men, weren't they? Were like smart Game of Thrones coming down to play.
So I was like, but hopefully Maud proves me wrong and just smashes the league and I'm a fair player, you know what I mean? But I think this season it is a promotion or bust, isn't it? Now we need to get promoted. Now he can't stay in it for a third year.
Mm-hmm. Darren Moore will get us up or he'll be out of a job. That's going to happen, but we won't go up without Darren Moore getting us up. I don't believe that. I don't think we can attract a manager that's going to come in and bed in with Chan Siri in the way that we'd need a manager to, because whatever manager comes in is going to need time to get the squad to gel. That's
you say this, but like Fudge bit just said to Steve Cooper, do you know what I mean? Even into Forest and
it's a one in a million. It's literally a one in a million. That doesn't happen. The last time that happened was, 15, 20 years ago with Roy Keane and Sunderland. It comes around once in every 10 years or so. It's not going to happen again. I'm telling you.
I get real bad manager envy when I look at what Steve Cooper did with Forest. And I thought we had it when we got Dave Jones, when we got our League One the last time. I thought, hey, here we are, kids. This is going to be our thing. And do you know who else I was bloody jealous of? And his career went to shit when he left. Was Nuno at Wolves. Now, there was a point around, I think it was 2016, where we were at Wolves and we won 2-0. And we were stood there going, you're fucking shit. The entire time, we're fucking good. And I remember we played in that white kit with the light blue collar. And I remember thinking, God, this team are bloody awful. And then they got Nuno in. And all of a sudden, they went romping up. And then a couple of years later, they're playing Europa League. And I thought, Jesus, we had Carlos Carvalhal, who got us so very close. But we never got a Nuno. And then after that, Josh bloody Lukai. Like, where did we get? What the crap in Jesus was that? Do you know what I mean? That was just
Championship football.
In it, what is he doing?
Interview. I've never seen this league.
Norwich get Daniel Farke, and then
Daniel Farke.
We got get fucking.
Farke started off. Looks like scat manager. He didn't get nothing. Did do nothing in his first year, but
then he's been promoted to the Premier League twice.
Yeah.
Like I do get manager envy quite a lot. Now, Steve, we talked about Iorfa earlier on. You know, a lot of people calling for a Z. Surely it's too early to start chopping and changing the bloody defence already, right?
Normally I'd say yeah, but I can't see how, having conceded the goals that we've conceded, I can't see how that back three starts again on Saturday. I don't, you know...
Good Lord.
Offer,
is this a call for LP2 to get his bonus on it? Is this what you're saying to me?
Listen, if it's a call for Liam, it's a call.
It's lighting
for
the beacons. It's lighting. You know what I mean?
I think he's had a lot of sort of negativity around him because he wasn't that good last year. But I don't think he was very fit. He had periods out and he struggled with fitness. The worry is that a player, he is young, but historically players that struggle with the injuries that he has had tend to struggle when they come back and they're never quite
absolutely
a player, and that's a big worry. And I can't remember who it was. Somebody's just put in our group chat tonight because Connor Wickham's gone to Forest Green. You know, what an excellent player Connor Wickham has been in his time, but the fact that he's now rolling out for Forest Green Rovers because nobody else will take a chance on him goes to show the effect and the impact that those injuries have had.
Don't mean that.
I'm hoping. Yeah, it was Blair. The one good thing he said tonight. I'm hoping that, you know, it is a case of him getting match fit and you know, getting the minutes under the belt and within 2-3 games. And there's no, you can't legislate for, or you can't rely on pre-season to get your league match ready. You can't. You need
match fitness.
So, you know, would I be surprised if Iorfa drops out? No. Do I want to see him drop out? Probably not. Is it the right call? I'm not Darren Moore. Again, I'll go back to Hennigan. I think there's going to be players that we bring in that will be good for this club. I'm calling it early. I don't see enough in Ben Hennigan to tell me that he's going to play 30 games this season in a team that's going to go up. I just don't see it.
He's calling it early, John. He's calling it early. What about you? Would you have a chop and change next week at the back?
Potentially, yeah. I was just laughing then when you were saying it. When Steve said that, I could just imagine you just editing this video in 9 months' time when he gets player of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. It's happening. I'll save them all.
Listen, we can at him. Absolutely send it to him. If he gets player of the year, there'll be nobody happier than me.
We'll send it to him.
Mate, yeah. The worrying thing is, though, I think you've got to give him the benefit of the doubt to try and play his way out of it, because he's a young, talented player. We all know he's got pace to burn, which is a rare attribute for a centre-half, really. We all know what Des Walker was like. You know, having that pace at the back was such a reassuring thing, but obviously we played more of a four then than what we're doing now with a three. But if he does continue to struggle, you have to worry about his career with Sheffield Wednesday, because if we're going to stick with a three, then what are you going to do with him? Because you can't play him as a wing back, really. He's more of a defensive sort of player, isn't he? If you have him in the back four, then great, but I can't see him bombing down. I don't know if he saw one of the
It was a right back by trade.
Yeah, we're going as a right back from Wolves, yeah. But...
And he was quite attacking, because he did score quite a few goals in that first half season under Steve Bruce. So maybe using him as a wing back could work. I mean, having a 6'5" Iorfa charging your box. I mean, God, try and defending that. But I think the problem is Monk put him in centre half, says it all. but I think if he believes he's a better footballer than he is. You know what I mean? He comes out with the ball, and his passing's awful, isn't it?
That's what's letting him down.
I think that's what's letting him down the most, and his pace gets him out of the craps at more times than not.
Yeah, I think if he's going to succeed, he's going to have to stick at centre-half, isn't he? Because unless the system change comes, then I don't see him being a wing-back. So,
personally, we've mentioned about potential signings. We've mentioned Roof, Wilkes, whoever. The most important signing we could now make for me is Harley Dean, after watching that on Saturday.
Take Harley Dean all day long. I'd take Harley Quinn at this point, but, you know.
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think...
I'd take James Dean. Or James Brown. You see how I managed to shoehorn that impression in there? You see how I did that? That was good, wasn't it? That was good. And that's pretty much my... that's a James Brown impression. It's good, isn't it, Steve?
Terrible.
What am I talking about?
You know what? Stop it. Let's get Hector back.
He's a free agent.
Is he?
Tell you another.
Yeah. I'd snap your bloody arm off for him.
Hector's a free agent, and also Alfie Mawson, ex Swansea, is a free agent, and he's only 27, I believe.
Let's just buy all the defenders. Let's just get them all. Let's just build a team around it. We won't concede again. We won't concede a bloody shitty free kick going in. Yeah, we'll play a new formation. We'll play seven at the back and let Lee Gregory run around up front with Barry Banner. Yeah,
we'll just do what Scotland did against Spain when they were world champion. Just go 5-5-0.
I see where Steve is coming from, though, in terms of Ben Hennigan. I thought he were half solid. However, I can see that
there's a fuck up in him.
Yeah, and
this is first time in a busy hill, and he don't want to let it bounce. And if he's jumping up for balls that he ain't got the right to win. I'd do that. If I've got all these people around me going, don't let it bloody bounce, because we're all Yorkshire shit kickers and that's the football we were brought up on. You know what I mean? I jump for bloody everything.
You've been identifying players as shit kickers for 18 months, 2 years now. And I'll tell you what, he's the biggest one of the lot. He is. I look at him and
he's my favourite. When I get my new shirt, the name's going on the back.
He stands there and he's the one who's like, he gets his arms out and he's going, ow, ow, get it. And I'm thinking... I used to do that coaching horses.
He's the first League One player who's signing it, like, you know, proper League One player.
He's a totally different player to everybody else, and that's no bad thing. But there were a couple of occasions where I've just seen him on Saturday and I saw him last Wednesday, and I'm just thinking, he's doing that. And there are players that are going to run away from him. And Ikwe didn't look like he had a great deal of pace either. I think he's the better of the three on Saturday. He's the better of those two, definitely, in terms of the playing ability. But I think without Iorfa's pace at the back, I think we're in trouble. I do. I think Steve, whoever comes in there, we've got to try and get somebody who's going to be able to cover those two.
We're like a leader at the back, like Leuvens. Like Leuvens was great, wasn't he? But he made Tom Lees
Steve,
better player.
Steve, you and I played low-level football. Well, high-level for us, right? up until I was 40 years old when I owned my boots up, right? And I wanted to play literally the day after and all, right? So
are you coming out of retirement? Is that what you're saying?
No. What I'm saying is, the guy that's the loudest, the guy that shouts, get him out, the guy that goes, how many, ref?
Yeah.
Not exactly the most technically gifted player on the fucking park. I can tell you that for free. Because there was about 8 years where somebody had run past me, arms in the air, I'm not chasing that prick. You know what I mean? Ref, how many ref? Come on. So we all know what the bluster looks like. We all know that you're just trying to shout your way out of us getting on your shit. But we've seen you, Hennigan. We've seen you. We've been seen on day one. But let's hope it sorts itself out.
Look, I'd rather have him there than Dunkley. It's an improvement, but I'm not sold on him.
Dunkley has more better than Hennigan.
Jay Dunkley is a decent signing for Shrewsbury, right? I'm not imagining that.
No, he'll do great for them because he won't have the pressure of a Hillsborough crowd.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to playing them as me. All right. So. Sorry, a bit of windy pops there, kids. I'm having a Fanta lemon. I'm off to Spain tomorrow, so I'm getting the taste back. It's going to be vodka Fanta lemon for three days. Up the bloody ticks. Right then. So, MK Dons at the weekend, Jonathan.
Is it a stag do?
No, I'm literally going there of my own volition. So that's fun, isn't it? Fucking hell. John, Milton Keynes coming up. Lost at the weekend. Are we going to batter him? What are you saying, Trev?
Well, obviously, as you rightly said, they lost at the weekend, so their first home game coming up, so they'll be looking to bounce back from that. Our first away game, obviously, we just come off back of what felt like a loss to many, many fans, and conceding three goals in the process. So I'm not overly confident of a win on this one, Dan, I'm afraid, even though they've lost some players. I think it's going to be a draw. Which leaves us with 2 points after two games and more sort of grumblings from certain sections of the fans, not me, because it's too early. But yeah, I think MK will be looking to bounce back, and I think we'll probably draw. I'll go 1-1.
That's weird because I've written 1-1 as well. Blair, what are you saying?
I can never bet against them. They're going to win 7-0, mate.
All right, 7-7. Have you got a sensible guess to put in?
Realistic, I think. Again, you can only go by paper, can't you? I mean, that's what predictions are, like going by paper. Like Ben perfectly put how many good players they lost this in the summer, and you can't replace them because he had all them on loan. So to find loans of the quality of what they are, I think Darling might have been their player, but I think all the rest was Twine their player as well. Yeah,
Twine was banging.
But the other two like Powett and Corbinu as well, he did all right for. They were loans, weren't they? So to find quality loans like that and get a second season running is difficult. Wednesday should win. That is Sheffield Wednesday we're talking about. Yeah, but I'm going to go 2-0.
2-0 to the Wendy. Now, Blair mentioned a good point there, Ben. Darren Moore kind of said in the papers last week about loans. I think he's tried to get more players on a permanent contract, trying to smash the free transfer market, stuff like that. Do we need a couple of loans? Are we missing? Are we a bit shy in any position?
I'd take Harley Dean on loan if we needed to. But he went in the Birmingham squad for whatever reason. I think he plays some at pre-season games, but he doesn't seem to be getting his way back in there.
He fell out with Lebo, didn't he? And then the new gaffers put him in the pre-season.
Yeah.
And then when it came to matter, he didn't bother.
Mm. So it doesn't seem footballing. I don't think it's anything footballing with him at Birmingham. I think it's more...
He just wants to get out.
Matter of personalities. And I think we'll just try to get him out. And if we can, we've got to try, because we've spoke at length about Inigo now, whether he does prove to be good enough or not. If you bring Ali Dean in, he don't play, because Ali Dean plays. We say about players that we've seen and we can't judge if we haven't seen, and we've seen him and we know that he's good enough.
Yeah, to be fair. So, yeah. Him and Michael Hector. We'll take them all back.
Yeah, I think the problem with Dean is just he's rumoured to be on 30k a week, isn't it, at Birmingham? So they're going to have to do some jiggery pokery if we want to get him back out.
Yeah, there's going to have to be some proper maths on that one. Mm. So go on then, Ben. How do you reckon we're going to go fair against MK Donuels?
2-1
to Wendy.
Mm.
Oh, I'll tell you what, the optimistic bunch. Steve, bring us home with a 3-0 loss. Come on, pal.
I think that's more likely than us winning, to be fair. I think they're going to want to bounce back. They're going to want a response after last week. And I agree with most of what's been said around MK Dons. It's going to be second season syndrome, and they're not going to be as good as they were last year. But they've signed Will Grigg, haven't they? Will Grigg's gone in.
Bradley Johnson.
Yeah,
Bradley Johnson.
Yeah, Bradley Johnson's in there, but he's, 36?
I'll say he's a million now.
And is it Barry, the lad from Aston Villa, has gone there for the season?
He's not a bad player.
Yeah, he's decent. So we're talking about him losing players. They've got players that have gone in there. Goes against everything that I'd say at this stage at season. I do worry that the pressure will be on if we don't win on Saturday for more from a vast majority of the Wednesday fandom. I'd take a point on Saturday. I would. Saturday afternoon at MK Dons, I'd take a point. We've got some big games coming up that we should be going out there and win. I think the game after that is Charlton.
The first, I know we said, we probably all thought it when the fixtures first come out. If we can get through to October in top six, we're doing all right, because the first eight games or something, we play the majority of the teams that you would expect to be top seven, top eight, with I think Forest Green thrown in there as well. The rest are all like what we got coming up after that. Peterborough, Charlton.
Peterborough.
We play Portsmouth, MK Don.
Dog and Partridge. They've got them coming up later down. No, you're right, Ben. Looking at it, on paper, those first set of fixtures, like you said, they're the teams that are going to be in and around where we want to be, aren't they? So
we've got easier run from late September, October onwards till about December, to be honest. Yeah. That's where you're looking to start picking points, 3 points up regular. But we've got a tough first. Our season's in blocks.
Yeah.
Really split in sort of four or five blocks of difficult patches and what you'd expect to be easier patches.
In the league, Ben, coming up, I'm just Googling it now. We've got obviously MK Dons this weekend, then Sunderland in the Cup the following midweek. Then we've got Charlton at home, a game potentially we should be winning. Peterborough away, which is going to be 5-4 either way, because it's Peterborough and they've been playing like that for 20 bloody years. Bolton away, which is going to be difficult. And then Forest Green, who we don't really know what to expect. And I feel like you're right. I feel like there's a difficult lineup there. Potential banana skins. And then let's have a look further down then, shall we? So Barnsley at home, Bradford away. Oh, that's the effort. That's a piece of truth. Then away at Plymouth, away at Morecambe. Then Ipswich at home. God almighty. Darren Moore's going to have to pull one out of his ass here, Stevie, mate, because this is a difficult bloody line. I've not looked at the fixtures like that before. That is hard work.
Forest Green and Morecambe, they're the ones that you think bankers. The other ones are all tough games.
How did we get on at Morecambe last year?
Lost.
I think to go back to the prediction for Saturday, I think bizarrely the most important, if somebody said to me, you're going to draw the game, but you're not going to concede any shit goals from open play crosses, I'll probably check it. Do you know what?
Check it.
As daft as it sounds, it's the way, the manner that we play, and we talk about it always, generally speaking, it's always about the result over the performance when you're playing in League One. For me, I think it's almost more important that we play well and we don't concede shit goals on Saturday.
You know, building foundations for going forward. So go on, Stevie, give me a prediction. Are you saying a draw? Nil-nil or a score draw?
It's going to be a score draw. They're going to score from across.
Yeah, there you are. One all again from Stevie. So that's three. That's three one alls. And then Blair and Ben are a little bit more optimistic, thinking we're going to hit the back of the net twice. Okay. So does anybody have any other business, folks? Go for Lionesses. Go for Dan Fudge. Stevie.
Lionesses. Lionesses.
We've got to talk about the Lionesses, haven't we?
Yeah. I haven't got anything specific to say on a Wednesday podcast. Certainly after last week. But if we don't tip us up to a fantastic achievement, you know, for an England team, regardless of gender, the stuff that they've done over the last month, the way that they've played football, their achievements, the goals they've scored. If Vic was on tonight, she'd be waxing lyrical for the next 15 minutes, and rightly so, about you know, the massive achievements that have been made and the legacy that we're hoping to see going forwards in terms of an increase in female girls participation and more women playing football at grassroots level primarily. Hopefully people will now take the professional game, the professional women's game, much more seriously. It's been great to see that 65,000, I think it was, had been sold early, and now for the game against USA
in, sold out.
Yeah, it's gone. There's just corporate.
Couldn't get a ticket. I was holding for 5 hours. Couldn't get a ticket.
Absolutely phenomenal. The celebrations, phenomenal. The mentality of the girls, phenomenal. Serena Wiegmann's leadership, phenomenal. I don't say it lightly, but the men's team need to be getting in and around that women's coaching team and asking them what they're doing to get a team to play or a squad to play with such unity and togetherness.
With a winning mentality like they did.
There was a clip, a slow-mo clip. Forgive me, I forget who. Was it Beth England, potentially? Girl who'd not played a single minute of football was the girl who ran to Serena Wiegmann and hugged her at full time. They've all gone running off celebrating, and the girl who's not kicked a ball in the tournament is going to the manager that won't play her. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something that is, you know, as somebody who's coached at a very fundamentally low level, you know, to get people all buying in and all on the same page is phenomenal. I hope it continues, and I hope to see more accessible female football, not just on Sky, but on the BBC, on terrestrial television. I hope that there are initiatives that go forward that allow girls to be exposed to women's football going forwards, because I think this could be the start of something really, really big and really, really special for, you know, generations going forward. And I say that with as a parent of twin daughters, that, you know, one will be coming with me on Saturday to MK Dons because she loves the game, but she loves Sheffield Wednesday. She don't know any different. And Sunday night was the first time she sat down and with a sister and the three of us and the mum sat and literally watched the full 90 minutes of a game that wasn't Sheffield Wednesday on TV. And that's special.
Amazing. I tell you what, I'm just going to pile on that. I know that there are a good group of people that, you know, that are like, stop chucking it down my throat. Look, if it's not for you, it's not for you. And like Stevie says, he's got two young daughters, and there's now an accessibility there that, well, hopefully going forward, that there wasn't before. For example, you know, John, you're a similar age to myself and yourself, Stevie. There was no option for girls to play football when we were kids. No. They played netball, we played football or rugby. That's pretty much what happened. And
even 5 years, I can't say that there were many girls that would have opted to play football, but now seeing that, there will be.
And that's what it's going to do. It's going to inspire a generation of young girls. And this is a sport that was banned from the 20 for about 50 years or something, wasn't it? They were begging to play in stadiums, and then now look, they're European championships, European champions. And I'm chuffed for them. I really am. If it's not for you, fine. Don't just let people enjoy things. I, you know what I mean?
I'm just going to say as well, Dan, as well, 17.5 million viewers on BBC, but people don't watch women's football, do they? You know, so that was another, you know, hopefully, like you said, that it's left a legacy and one that will be built on, and not just like, oh, you know, we look back in 10 years and like, oh, we were good that time, we won it, but now we're world champions and we're competing with USA and, you know,
I'd love to see our girls smash Megan Rapinoe in half. I really would.
Absolutely. I'd
absolutely love to see it. I don't know why, because I'd be like, yes, yes, that's what I want to see, some shit housing from some big shit kicker centre-backs. Anyway, thanks a lot for joining us tonight, ladies and gents. It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing, ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Back of the net, Lubosch. Ultimate delivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.